From sports to leisure activities, from travel to dining out, from the neighbourhoods of Dublin to walks in the park. Dublin City FM.
The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
103.2 Dublin City FM Sod Show with Brian Green and Peter Donegan. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm good. Just before we get started, if you want to text us today, the number 087-977-1032. And I'm going to turn on the text machine. You give us the Twitter information.
Oh, yeah, if you want to get us on the Twitter sphere, it is, of course, the hashtag is Sod Show. We're following in the footsteps of the great one, oh, Mr. Vincent Brown, with our very own hashtag that we had a long time before him. For other means and variations of getting in touch, you'll find this and all information up on blog.donaganlandscaping.com. And of course, there's also the facebook.com/Donegan Landscaping. But again, hashtag Sod Show if you want to get in touch. Easiest way to do so. What have we got in this week's show, Brian?
Show number 37.
Is that how old we are?
We're just
almost as old as you.
Nearly. Dum-dums. We
yes,
have on
so.
Today's show, and you're going to tell us a little bit about it, is you went to speak to a potato grower.
Yes, I did.
Actually, before you go to that,
yeah,
are you doing something on the hashtag with regard to ugly veg?
Oh,
what is ugly veg? Is it going around everywhere? And
well, I didn't see it. To blame for ugly veg, what I had said midweek on Twitter, I think last, I can't remember. Anyhow, Thursday, I think it was last week, I was brewing to myself. And you know the way sometimes you just say an off-the-cuff kind of remark and somebody says, oh, that should be a number one hit in the United States. I don't know. All I said was, quote, if any or if a Irish chef did a campaign to get ugly, inverted commas, vegetables on supermarket shelves, I'd support it, i.e. ungraded vegetables. That's the comment I made because I think, in short, there is a point, and it will come up in today's interview with David Rogers. If you look at the back of a bag of spuds, an ordinary 10kg bag, it says on the back of it, size between 45 and 80 millimetres. If you look at turnips in any of the supermarkets, you'll see they're all pretty much the same size. Carrots are all the same length. They go through a grading process. If the carrots are broken, into one bin. If they're bent or forked, they go into another bin. And generally speaking, I think Dave will discuss it in a little bit of detail as regards potatoes, where they actually go and what happens to them.
Are we talking straight bananas here?
that's an entirely different subject, but pretty much yes. Yeah, if you're not good looking enough, sorry, get into the bin. That's what happens.
So we used to, I'm going back way back, you know, and if you found one at home, you'd bring it into school and you'd stick toothpicks in it for legs, and you'd have
pipe cleaners,
an odd shaped potato which would have a huge body and then a neck and a little head or something, and you think it was a dinosaur or something. You don't see them anymore because they've been graded off the conveyor belt. Is that what it is?
Yeah, but a little bit. But do you remember years ago? I mean, I always remember going down to the supermarket and it was just a big, huge bin of potatoes, and I always remember being there and I'd pick the large ones, and there'd be a lady next to me and she'd be picking the little baby ones because Michael, the husband, liked the baby ones, and she felt that they were sweeter, or she felt they were a better taste. And, you know, there was never really any waste because you like the large and I like the smaller. She likes the middle-sized one, and it was horses for courses. Now, the situation is you can buy potatoes between 45 and 80 millimetres in size. Shin a will. That is the way it goes, you know?
Right. I'm eager to find out what happens to the ugly veg. Does it get... Where does it go? So let's have a listen to... Go straight to our interview.
We should, yes.
This is Out to the Fields of North County Dublin.
It's David Rogers from Ballybuckle in North County Dublin.
David, can you just explain to me what we're looking at here? It's a probably a 30-foot-long contraption. There's a set of forks coming in. They're dumping
potatoes into the bottom of it. What is the process? What's the noise in the background that people are hearing at home?
What's going on here is actually sorting potatoes, grading the potatoes. We're grading them, take any clay, any smalls. The smalls under 50 millimetres are taken away, and then they go up onto an inspection table where any blemishes or anything that shouldn't be there is taken away, and then they're filled back into the tun box for delivery to the pack house.
Why, curiosity, are under 50 millimetres taken out, or is there a specific answer to that?
The grade size, the standard for Ireland is that potatoes under 45 are not sold in bags, that it's under 45 would have its own particular grade, as in 45 down. But if you're selling mainstream potatoes, they're generally from 45 to 80 millimetres. But the supermarkets are now insisting on 50 millimetres up to 80.
And curiosity killed the cat. What happens with the potatoes below that size?
Here, most of the potatoes under that size end up going for cattle feed. In other words, they're really just dumped.
And what we're seeing here at the moment, as the set of forks come in, it dumps it in into what I can only describe as a kind of a trailer at a 45-degree angle. It works its way all up a conveyor belt, and then it's sorted by hand by the lads still to this day.
Yeah, well, a lot of the work is actually done with the first cleaner on the grader, which takes away any clay, stones, anything like that is taken out. The next part of the grader, as I said, is the screen, which the potatoes go over. Anything under 50 millimetres falls through, and then the good potatoes are inspected at the final inspection, and then they're put back into the tun bin again.
So we just left what was the grading noise in the background. You'll hear a different sound in the background. It's almost like industrial fan units come into a big, huge shed, and all I can see is probably 7 potato boxes tall. What am I standing in, David?
You're standing in what's called a fridge door. Here is where when we dig the potatoes from the fields, we bring them in tun boxes, and we store them in the fridges. This particular fridge holds 1,200 tons, and we store them here at about 3 to 3.5 degrees.
To give people an idea at home, how many bags of potatoes is 1,200 tons?
A 10 kg bag, there's 100 in a ton. So you do the maths.
120,000 bags of potatoes.
Yeah. In this store, and they're kept at 3.5 degrees. So whenever we take the potatoes out of here to go to market, the potatoes are the very same as the day they were dug.
How long can they stay in this fridge for without growing or not growing?
They could stay in a fridge till next August, basically.
And we're November now.
Yeah. Potato will start to grow at over 4 degrees. So if you keep them under 4 degrees, they don't throw out buds and start growing. So they're kept perfectly at this temperature.
So we're in a different shed now again, as people can tell at home. This one is filled with what I can only gather as seed potato. It's slightly warmer than the fridges.
That's right, yeah. We're already only early November, but we're already planning for next season. The early variety that we grow is Queens. And at this time of the year, we actually get the seed of the Queens, put them into what's called sprouting trays, and we put them into a shed stacked up, and there's plenty of light in the shed, as you can see. We try to keep them over 4 degrees to get these ones to sprout, and also we give them plenty of light because the light makes the sprout go green, and the green sprout is a much stronger sprout than a white sprout, so when we go to plant it, it stays on while the planting process is happening.
The potato that I'm going to have on my table on Christmas Day, I go to the supermarket, let's say the 24th of December, I buy one bag of your own potatoes, I bring it home. The process from where it gets into the bag, can you backtrack it?
Yeah, well, everything here on the farm is traceable. All our potatoes are traced back to the same field when they were planted, the seed that was planted, fertilizers used, sprays used, everything is tracked back. So from your potatoes that you pick up on Christmas Day, the process is they've come out of the fridge, they're then going down the grader that we've seen as well. They're going into back into the ton boxes. They are then being delivered to the packer. We don't pack for supermarkets. There's individual packers that do that. So they're being delivered to them, and they're washing them and packing them and putting them into whatever size bag. But the grown, we would start planting in March. March, April are the months mainly for planting. Then they're usually harvested. We harvest the early ones from July, August. And then September, October is the month for harvesting the main crop, which is brought in the tun box again and put in, placed into the fridge.
Dave, can you give people a gist of how long are you in the business, how long are the Rogers family in the business of potato growing?
We're growing potatoes for about 50 years.
How big of an area of potatoes do you plant almost every year?
We plant around 300 acres of potatoes. But we were planting even slightly more, and there is a decline in the usage of potatoes. So we have decreased, and we possibly will decrease again back to somewhere around 250 for the coming year.
Dave, I was down in the village last night. I bumped into your dad. Your dad's a potato grower, obviously.
Well, yeah, he's more or less retired out of it now, and let the younger folk do the job now.
I met your brother the day before. He's in the business with you as well?
He is, yeah. There's four brothers here. We all work at the potatoes. Potatoes is a very labour-intensive job, getting it all right and getting the grading done and the harvesting done. And it's back to planting then, and it's spraying them during the summer. And it's during the winter now, it's going to be chitting the seed and grading other seed and grading the produce as it's going out. So it is a busy line to be in potatoes.
What's an average day for you at this moment in time?
Well, it's eased off a little now that the harvesting, we actually only finished harvesting the potatoes yesterday. So while we were harvesting potatoes, we were probably working 14, 15 hour days, while the weather was good, because you never know here. Like we see in there with the floods a couple of weeks ago, the sun was shining one day and the next day the place is flooded. You've always to be prepared that today is your last day digging the potatoes, because tomorrow anything could be coming. So when you get the chance, you have to really just knuckle down and get the job done.
Welcome to Ireland, says you.
Yeah.
How did last year affect you with the frost? Was that a big problem?
Last year we had some potatoes. We had about 60 acres that we didn't harvest. We didn't get the weather, get them done in time, and the snow and frost more or less destroyed them, But otherwise, if they're in and they're in storage, it doesn't, they're fine. Yeah. Once they're kept in an insulated area and that the temperature can't go down below freezing, potatoes will be fine. Ooh,
The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
Dublin City FM Sod Show on a Friday afternoon. A wet, miserable Friday afternoon in Dublin City, Peter.
Yeah, and speaking of wet, say a prayer. Our thoughts go out to the farmers, potato farmers from Donegal. They estimate up to, and I quote, up to 2,500 acres of the crop, or 80% of the total, are still in the ground. Much of it set aside for the production of seed for the 2012 crop. If you listen to speaking to David last year, I think he noted that they had 60 acres were lost. It's mind-boggling the amount of work that goes into just putting one potato into a bag and getting it onto our shelves. At the same token, the Irish Times' Sean McConnell also noted that there were a fall in the number of potatoes planted in the Republic of Ireland. I have to say, it's mildly disheartening I suppose, to one extent, and semi-understandable why, maybe on another level.
Let me just read a bit from the Irish Times article. The number of potatoes being planted in the Republic continues to fall as farmers face major difficulties from imports, low pricing and falling consumption. A major report on the sector compiled by the Irish Farmers Association has shown a drop of nearly 3,500 acres of potato crop between 2010 and 2011. Although I do read that 2010 was a bumper year for potato growing and harvesting. So it's down 16% in 2011.
Well, as I said here, yeah, you look at the statistics taking place in Donegal and you even look locally up the road from me. So it's that's Donegal to Dublin. And you think that, you know, the lads have got, I suppose, what, 300 acres approximately to spuds, and 60 of those were left just to you know, rot away, I suppose. It's one-fifth of your produce. It's 20% of your whole potential produce just
so
gone.
If you want to be patriotic tonight, go to the chipper.
Well, funnily enough, a lot of the Irish chippers or Irish-based chippers would use an English potato. And partly that's to do with because it chips better, or so I'm told that is the situation. But I did get a nice note in on facebook.com/Donegan Landscaping from Gary Fado Garden in Barra. And she said, quote, sad to hear about the difficulty that farmers are experiencing, but I would encourage everyone to plant a few for themselves. Very fair point and a great suggestion. It's never been easier with a large range of sax planters and growing mediums available, plus the range of types is astounding as they're relatively easy to grow and richly rewarding. However, I did reply to her saying absolutely, and when the homegrowns run out, then buy local. And I think that's a huge thing. You know, if you are going out and shopping, spare a thought for the farm, potato farmers just up the road, and just ask your supermarket. I mean, we're being told, ask your politician, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Go in and ask your supermarket. Do a Hugh Fearnley Whitten stall and tell them you want that.
Got to love your Rush Queens.
Oh, well, Ballyball roosters are probably more to my taste at
actually,
this moment in time.
You've answered my question.
Yes.
What is the most planted potato in Ireland?
Oh, I would suggest it's probably the rooster.
It's the rooster. 56% of the national crop is the rooster.
And probably due to increase for next year. Hey, listen, and I'll give you a good one. I put a note out on the Facebook page saying, had anybody, bearing in mind the weather we have outside, got anything planned for the coming weekend? My sister Liz, as always, not to leave me isolated and on my own, sent me a note saying if she had a garden, she would, which is quite humorous. I did giggle and then I slapped myself in the hand because Liz was one of the poor unfortunate spare a thought for the people of Donnymead. What is our...
Priory Hall.
Priory Hall Apartments, yes. If you can search them up on Facebook and give them a little bit of a well wish, I think it's fully deserved for what's happening there at this moment in time. Back to gardening matters, however. Etain Cleary, hello Etain, how are you? Hope you're doing well. She says, quote, hoping to do some bark chip spreading and some daffodil planting on Sunday if the rain ever stops. To my knowledge, Etain has taken the advice that I blogged midweek and she is planting daffodil bulbs underneath her lawn so they will be ready to come up in spring. It is one of the big reasons why you should get out and plant as well. As well as that, it is also tree planting season, Brian, did you know, and hedge planting season.
It's always potato week and tree planting week.
Wait and I give you a good one for an off the, for a make you smile in this wonderly weather or wondering weather, wondering why I ever got into horticulture, says you, maybe. Our good friend Finbar O'Mahony from the Passport Seekers Republic of Cork has sent me a note saying, quote, hey kid, I'm tempted to do the accent, but I won't, Finbar. Hey kid, why not try taking hot water from your compost heap at the end of your garden? Worth a try. This also almost reminds me of my good friend Philip Murta, who gave me the three bottles of elderflower champagne that spontaneously combusted in my pantry because I never or forgot, or he forgot to tell me, whoever you like to blame, let the gas off them.
One of the most avid tweeting councillors in the country has that passport story. In fact, it's Laura McGonagall, isn't it, from Fine Gael Party in Cork? Yes,
she wouldn't have a licence to listen to us. She'd be listening to Red FM or one of those other stations.
And
I'm sure.
On page 3 of the Examiner for all your Cork news. We won't read anything else out off that page today.
No, unless you're heading to Scots.
Speaking of names, you've got a sister Liz, I've got a sister Liz, but I just have to ask you one question. What's your middle name?
Me? I have two, John Francis.
John Francis.
Yes.
Peter John Francis.
Yeah, Donegan. Sean Pruncius O'Donegan. Yeah. Patter Sean Francesa Donegan for those who are listening in the States and like a little bit of Irish.
If you were listening to the interview closely, you would have heard Peter say, "Curiosity killed a cat." Well, in traditional sod show pun, today's song of the week is "Curiosity killed a cat" and "Down to Earth." Dublin City FM, "Curiosity Killed a Cat" and "Down to Earth" from Peter's mention of the same cat in the interview.
Yes, the humour. The humour. I'm just sometimes I fall on the floor of the studios and tittle myself. It's that hilarious. Working with Brian, the joys of. Hey, Brian, couple of things. I got a note in there a while ago from a nice lady, actually a very good friend of mine. She was looking for, I suppose, how would you say it, making her own herbs or cropping her own herbs in order to be able to use them in the Christmas cooking this season. If you are, head across to the blog, blog.donneganlandscape.com. There you will find the hot list and what I would recommend. The ones that I did note were number one, rosemary, rosmarinus officinalis, if you want to use elongated names and sound very intelligent like I do at all times. Extremely good looking in brackets. Bay laurel is in there as well. Mint plant for the mojitos. Are you a mojito fan, Brian?
I'm looking for the subtitles on the sod show. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes. Spirit of Folk Festival will have something different to say about that one. Parsley is in there at number 4. Coriander is in there at number 5. I did note a few others. Thyme, sage, basil, chives and wild garlic. The only one you should not be able to grow at this moment in time is most likely the wild garlic. You may have a little bit of difficulty with the basil, being that I tend to grow my own site. But generally speaking, you'll still be able to find all of those in your local garden centre or from a good-looking landscaper. I did put up a poll, Daddy poll, on that blog post, and you'll never guess what. Split evenly, one-third, and one-third between rosemary, parsley and garlic. There you are. Have you got a favourite herb, Brian?
No.
Okay. Are we back to this beetroot in a jar conversation?
No.
Okay.
But I did hear that one of the TDs got a jacket suit made by Louis Copeland in hemp.
I won't ask which one. Has he still got the jacket?
He's only received.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
He's only received it.
He's only gone through the sleeves, as you. Yes.
It's Luke Ming Flanagan. Yes.
I would have guessed. Okay, five things for you to do in the garden this November. These are must do's. If you don't do them this season, bearing in mind the season that we had last year when the ground was frozen solid, you may have difficulties again. So it may be the case that it is still wet outside. But however, one must, I suppose, plow on. Is that an apt description? Number one, do plant a new tree. Always good, especially, I find, a great Christmas presents, actually. Plant a new herb garden. We've just covered that one on all of the what you cans and what you can'ts. If you're looking at planting a hedge, that's an oddball gift to give for somebody for Christmas. Other than that, it's the perfect lawn. Go out and do a little bit of work on it. It needs it. It's had a tough season. And a bit like Etain Cleary said there recently, plant some new spring bulbs. You don't necessarily have to plant them into the flower bed. You can indeed plant them in underneath the lawn.
I was just thinking of hedge funds there for a second. Sorry, totally lost. I'm looking at BBC Gardener's Calendar and they say two things you can do at the moment. It's actually quite low on information, but just around the 28th of November, start to plant your tulips. And they say during this period, you can tidy hardy perennials. What's tidy hardy perennials? Does this mean pruning, is it?
Tidying to you, Brian, is hoovering. And hardy perennials are something that you don't have in your garden.
What's a hardy perennial then? It's something that's all year round.
Well, a perennial is a plant that completes its life cycle over a period of years, as in it goes from seed to seed over a period of years, etc., etc., etc.
Or classic
it's got a longer life than a geranium, as in the shrub.
Right.
But that would be a hardy perennial. But at the same token, you've got herbaceous perennials in between all of that as well. So I think the tidying of perennials on the BBC site may be entirely different to the tidying of one's gardens in an Irish terms.
And there was I thinking that a hardy,
I don't head across the BBC too often.
Hardy perennial was a thief in my garden, but anyway. Not to be.
The humour is killing me.
They're playing that music again.
Hey, yes, folks, whatever you do in the great outdoors, do be sure to let us know what you do. Hashtag it Sodshow. Pop across to Facebook. You'll find the podcast later on in iTunes. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend.
Our thanks to Heather McLeod on controls. We're back next Friday, 3 p.m. Take care. Goodbye.
Bye for now. Bye-bye.